may be seated. Take your Bible tonight to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, if you would. It is good to have the Peters back with us again tonight. We enjoyed having them in our service this morning and glad they came back tonight. I mentioned to you their church is not having service because of problems with the virus situation right now. So you pray for that church, all right? And things will get back, and they'll be able to get back in the groove there, doing what they need to. And Romans chapter 3 tonight, Romans chapter 3. Brother Dunbar asked what I was preaching tonight, and I gave him the title, and I gave him the, I just listed chapter 3, and he said the whole chapter. I said by the time we get through, pretty much. So, yeah. Pretty much. But we'll start probably in, I guess, maybe the most familiar verse in Romans chapter 3. That's verse 23, where the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. And Lord, help me to give the message that you've given to me. And Lord, help us to see ourselves, see our condition. And Lord, to do what we need to do about it, and Lord, to be the Christian and draw closer to you as you'd have us to. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight on the title, the subject of man's greatest problem. Man's greatest problem. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like you were overwhelmed with problems? I've spoken to many people who, they would come to him and they'd just relate one problem after another. I mean, it was just one and then another and then another. I don't know if they were overwhelmed, but it almost overwhelmed me just listening to them recite the list of issues that they felt like, you know, they were dealing with. And we could talk about our country. There's problems, okay? We could talk about the world. There's problems. There's economic problems, there's political problems, there's mental problems in a lot of places. But the truth of the matter is, folks, life's made up of problems, okay? Yeah. Life is made up of problems. If you think what the old saying calling life being a bed of roses, well, it's not. Sometimes there's probably more thorns than there are roses, you know? If you get a rose given to you off of a stem, now, you're going to get a stem that at the florist, they've already shook the thorns off of it. But the truth of the matter is, if they gave you that before the thorns were taken off, you'd find out there's a lot more thorns on that stem than there are roses, okay? Life's made up of problems. There always will be problems to overcome, all right? There are always going to be problems to overcome. Don't ever get to the point where you think, well, I'm looking forward to the day when I'll have no more problems. Me too, because we'll be in heaven, all right? But until then, we got problems to deal with. But the truth of the matter is, the greatest problem that we have, the greatest problem we have as a nation is a sin problem. The greatest problems we have as individuals, it's a sin problem. That's it. The greatest problem we deal with is the problem of sin. It is a problem that saturates, all right? It saturates. Think about it. It's universal. Look in verse 10, would you? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Hey, back up to verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then verse 23, for all have sinned. For all have sinned. Hey, just a couple of real simple words, okay? All and none. None righteous, all are sinners. All are sinners. So when you look around and you think, who is here that's not a sinner? None. We're all guilty. We're sinners, all right? When you say none righteous and you say all have sinned, can I just say that pretty well sums it up? That covers everybody. Amen. That doesn't leave anybody out. You're not left out if you think, well, hey, nope, there's no exceptions. No exceptions. Well, my little grandchild, that is just an angel. Good, but they're a sinning angel, okay? They're sinners. We're sinners. There's no exemptions. And by the way, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We are. It is a universal problem. It saturates humankind. But you know, I look at it, it's not only universal, it's kind of an unusual situation. Think with me. Look in Romans 5, would you? Turn to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 12. This sin problem that we have is an unusual problem. If you'd allow me to say it this way, it's somewhat of a birth defect. Amen. Somewhat of a birth defect. Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all of sin. All of sin. How did it come about? Well, it entered into the world by the sin of one man, Adam. One man, Adam. And now it's been passed along by birth. We're born in sin. We're born that way. It's a blood disease, all right? And you say, well, how'd you become a sinner? I inherited it. I inherited it. Some people, you know, inherit genes for different things. Some people are taller, all right? And you say, where'd that height come from? Well, my grandpa, all right? Or, you know, all my family have been tall for years. And so, well, where'd you get those ears? Well, hey, my family, all right? I saw a picture on, I don't even remember now who it was, saw a picture on Facebook in the last couple of weeks, and then had this picture of this little baby, I mean, maybe 8, 9 months old, and they commented they sure got the, and they put down a family name, got those ears, all right? And it was a picture of a woman when she was a baby, and it's a picture of her grandchild. All right? So, well, they got the family ears. We pass things down. I'm going to tell you, we're sinners today because we got it from our parents. You say, well, thanks a lot. Yeah, well, don't worry about it. They got it from their parents. And by the way, your kids, they get it from you. We're born into sin. We're born in sin. It is a saturating problem. It affects everybody. Hey, but it's not only that, it's a very serious thing. I preach it and talk about it, but sin is so serious. We live in a day, though, that I think we kind of try to ignore it a little bit. But sin is very serious, and because it's so, so destructive. Look, if you will, in verse 13, all right, of Romans chapter 3, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Look at verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Hey, I don't want you to look at it a little bit, if you will, tonight, kind of from the human side. The way of peace have they not known. You know, that's the one thing people want in this old world. We want peace. And we want to be able to enjoy peace. But the Bible says the way of peace have they not known. Why? Because of sin. Sin, it's a serious thing. It destroys the self of the sinner, all right? Their throat is an open sepulcher. I get this picture of just engulfing everything that's wicked, taking it down, willing to bring it in. And it comes in, and boy, if we're not careful, if we don't work at it, it absolutely overwhelms you, all right? I've heard it, one sin leads to another. I think Brother Marion this morning in the Sunday school lesson talking about that. Sin, it's not content to just have a spot. It wants to take over. It wants to rule. It will grasp your life. It'll control your life. And one sin always brings in another sin, all right? One sin always brings in another. It's not enough. You say, well, this is going to be my pet sin. You know, hey, it's not real bad. In man's eyes. It's not real bad, so that is just, I know I can't be sinlessly perfect. You said that in Sunday school. And since I can't be sinlessly perfect, then I might as well decide what sin it is I'm going to hang on to. Well, you can't do it that way, all right? Because that one sin will always recruit another, all right? It'll always, it brings them in, and it contaminates the self of the sinner. Not only does it destroy the self of that sinner, but I want you to look there at verse 13 again, and it says their tongue, with their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. Boy, hey, y'all been paying attention on television lately? Watching the news and seeing the rioting, seeing the destruction that goes on. Hey, destruction and misery are in their way. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Isn't that amazing? Where's that problem come from, sin? Hey, that problem in our nation is not just because some people out there and feel like, well, I have been violated. Look, there's a lot of folks out there, they're just out rioting. Here's an opportunity for me to destroy. Why? Because I got a sin problem. Got a sin problem. That's what it is. That's what causes it. And it causes me, it not only destroys me, but it causes me to destroy others. Their sweeter feet are swift to shed blood. Hey, the poison of asp is under their lips. That's not going to poison them. That's going to be spit out to poison somebody else. Poison somebody else. I have got to. It's so hard to find anything in the world to watch on TV that I've got to watching these shows about some veterinarians. And it shows them treating a llama or an alpaca. And one of the things those animals do is you get them, they'll spit on them. You get to treat them, you try to hold them down, and man, they'll spit on them. But it's not just saliva. It's stuff they bring up from their stomach that they've chewed on a while and swallowed, and now they bring it back and put that on you. Hey, that's the sinner. That's the sinner. Man, the poison of asp is under their lips. They're going to do everything they can to destroy somebody else. We'll take our tongue and hang somebody out to dry. All right? I mean, just lay it on them. We'll put it there. Why? Because we've got a sin problem. We've got a sin problem. And it'll destroy ourselves, and it destroys other people. But look at verse 18, would you? Verse 18, the Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. I want to tell you, that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. No fear of God before their eyes. Hey, what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. Their relationship with God's been destroyed. No fear of God. If you've got half a brain and you're just even a little bit spiritual, you got enough sense to know you ought to fear God. You ought to fear God. You don't go around shaking your fist in God's face. No, you fear Him because you know what He can do. You know His infinite power. But we live in a time where so many people today, no fear of God before their eyes. Why? Sin problem. Sin problem. Now, it's easy for us to sit here and think about the anarchist, if you will, the terrorist, and to think about the atheist and say no fear of God before their eyes. But wait a minute. What about the child of God that willfully sins? The child of God that willfully, on purpose, knowing full well what's right to do, we step out of that and disobey God. So why do you do it? Because there's no fear of God. You think He's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to bother me. I can get away with this. Oh, watch out. Destroys your relationship with God. Why? Sin problem. Sin problem. Ultimately, it destroys the sinner. Over in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 14, the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey, death come. Why? Because of sin. That's the finish of sin. That's the finishing part of sin. It destroys you. It'll kill you. Hey, listen, it'll kill you physically. It will kill you spiritually. Sin is something that deals death to people. You said, preacher, my sin is not that big. Wait a minute. The Bible doesn't say big sin, does it? It says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey, that's the finishing part. You say, well, not me. Yep, you. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm headed that way. Good. Amen. But you still got a physical life that can be destroyed because of sin. Amen. There's still a physical side of you that can be destroyed because of sin. We get the idea it's not that big a deal. I don't fear that God's going to do anything. I'm going to step outside. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm a believer. There's sometimes some of those car accidents is the providence of God. It's God saying, I gave you a chance to get right, and you didn't get right. I gave you the opportunity. I called and I called, but you refused. So death is a result. I believe you can hasten that in your life. Why? Because of the problem of sin. But now, hey, sin is, it saturates the world. It's extremely serious. But I'm so glad there's a solution. I'm so glad there's a solution. Back there, if you would, in Romans chapter 3, all right? Back there in Romans chapter 3, there is a solution. But that solution starts with a painful process. Painful process. Hopefully Brother Kelly won't resent me using him as the example right here. Not as a sinner.
Amen.
You can go look in the mirror and see the example of that, all right? But here he is, he's got a problem with his knee, and it's bothered him a good while. And he was telling me this morning, he said, man, it's really been tough the last few days. He said, this morning is really hurting, but there's a cure, there's a solution, but it's going to be painful at the beginning. All right, it's going to be painful. That amen just came from somebody that's been through it, all right? I look over here, and there's somebody on this side nodding their head. Been there, you know, all right? Then I know what it's about. Hey, well, I'm going to tell you what, the solution to sin, there is a solution, but it starts with a painful process. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Oh, mercy. Hey, the Bible said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. All right? That painful process of the solution for sin starts with us saying, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Now, I don't know how you are. All right? I don't know how you are. I know what it is to be guilty, but I do not enjoy admitting guilt. I don't enjoy admitting guilt. There have been times when, you know, I was faced with it and I had done something, and maybe it was in school I admit I did it. We need to see ourselves as guilty. That's a hard thing. It's hard for us to admit we're guilty. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us, we look in the mirror and we really honestly think, that's a pretty good person right there. I like that fellow. I like that lady. I like this one right here. I think I'm a pretty good person, you know. And our problem is, we are, but it's in this sense, compared to the Skid Row bum. I'm not near that bad. I'm good. Well, that's not the comparison place, all right? That's not where you go, all right? That's not where you go. You parents, you sit down at the table. Kids come, there's time to eat. You said, are your hands clean? Well, yeah, look, right there. We'll turn them over. Well, I'm not eating with the back of my hand, all right? I'm not eating with the back of my hand. Well, they are clean. They're clean compared to the roughneck on the oil well. They're clean compared to the mechanic's been at it for 7 hours that day. But is that where you want your comparison made? See, our problem is we'll never fix the sin problem until we admit we're guilty. And that's what the Bible says. The law is there so that every mouth of me be stopped and every one of us will admit, hey, we're guilty. Say, guilty of what? Preacher, I'll have you know I've never murdered anybody. Good. Amen. I'm not guilty of adultery. Good. How about unbelief? How about unbelief? Here's the word of God. The Bible challenges us, and we don't do it. And the Bible says because of unbelief. Hey, how about unconcern? Unconcern. We're just not really concerned about that. Now, the Lord is, but we're not. We're unkind. You know, it's not adultery and murder and robbery, armed robbery. That's not the problem that deals with the sin in our heart. But it is those things like apathy. It is that kind of thing. That unkind. Well, I just don't care. And boy, we can jump on somebody that ruffles our feathers a little bit, you know. Rubs the fur the wrong way and we'll jump on them. What happened to kindness? What happened to kindness? You know, when the Bible says be ye kind one to another, it doesn't mean just when everything's going your way. We can still be kind. Hey, I'm just trying to lay it out there where all of us will see, you know what, I'm guilty. It's not oftentimes the sins of commission, if you will. It's not sometimes the sin of what we do. It's those sins, as we say, the sin of omission. We fail to do things we're supposed to do. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, if he failed to pray. We don't pray the way we should. The Bible said we ought to pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known to God. Hey, we don't pray. We just pray when we're in the jam. We pray when there's a need. We pray when there's an emergency. We pray when there's a tragedy. But we ought to pray about everything. Amen. We've got the names of missionaries on the wall, mission letters out there. And you read the mission letter, and it'll be hard to find the mission letter that there'll not be some missionary out there that's going to say, boy, if you'd pray with us about this. Amen. Pray. Pray. But we fail to pray. Hey, we fail to read our Bible. We fail to do it, even though the Bible does say, and we know it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not talking about studying the ceiling. It's studying the word of God. We're commanded to do it. We don't do it. We don't do it. Hey, our land is filled with churches today where people that profess the name of Christ go to church and don't even carry a Bible to church with them. Wow, well, we don't read it. You went into a lot of Christian homes and you asked for their Bible, it'd take them a while to find it. And it'd be in a box somewhere and said, look, it's in pristine condition. I saved it, all right? I saved it. I was looking through some stuff after we moved, and you know how it is, you move stuff and then you look to find what you need to throw away, right? And so I was looking through this box and I found this box and I thought, what in the world's here? Open it. Oh, I remember that Bible. Now, it's not the Bible I normally read. It's a Bible I got because I gave to support this Christian college. And they, you know, they sent this Bible out. But I'd forgotten all about it. There's a lot of, hey, by the way, it's in pristine condition. It's hardly ever been out of the box, all right? Had it for years. That's the problem. We fail to read the Bible. We fail to pray. Hey, we failed to witness. We failed to witness. Yet we're the ones that have the truth. We're the ones that have the truth. You said, preacher, what are you doing? Could you move to the next point? Hey, I want you to see there is a solution.
Come on, amen.
The solution starts with that painful process of saying, I'm guilty. I did it. I did it. I'm guilty before God. Not only that, look at verse 20, would you? Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hey, we're not only guilty, we're helpless. We are helpless. We're guilty and we can't help ourselves. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Said, look, the Bible's real plain. For by grace are you saved and through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not justified by works. We're helpless. We're helpless. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to earn justification. There's nothing you can do. We can try to justify ourselves sometimes by telling our side of the story. Look, if you just understood my side, you would understand why I do what I... No. Hey, we can't justify ourselves. The law, we can't operate. What are we? We're helpless. We're helpless. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. I've got a sin problem. You've got a sin problem. This whole world's filled with folks that's got sin problems. Sin problem. What can we do? Well, first thing, you see yourself guilty, but then you need to see yourself helpless. You need to see yourself helpless. I can't solve it. I can't fix it. You know, There's certain things we look at and we like to say, well, I can fix this. I'm going to develop a new habit. And there's some things you can. But when it comes to sin, that won't justify you for sin. You're helpless. There's only one thing to do. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Hey, how are you going to fix it? Well, it's according to grace, all right? Justified freely by his grace. All right? So, and it's the redemption that's provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God set him forth to be a propitiation for our sin, all right, through faith. We just trust him by faith. We come to him by faith. We're to seek the Savior. We're to seek the Savior. You said, preacher, I did that years ago. Did that years ago. Just years ago. Last Sunday in Sunday school, I asked several of the people in the Sunday school class, how long you been saved? How long you been saved? How long have you been saved? Man, people say 18 years and 31 years. Somebody's old. I'm Ms. Noble, over 60 years. All right, she got saved 2 years old. She said over 60 years have been saved. And man, look back, what a blessing. You say, preacher, I'm done. I don't have to worry. Wait a minute. Still have a sin problem. Still have a sin problem. Oh, that sin's not going to take you to hell. But would you go back there in Romans 3 again and look at verse 18? Again, it'll mess up your relationship with the Lord. It'll mess up that relationship with him. Oh, man, listen, you need to see I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm helpless. I can't conquer this thing by myself. I've got to come to the Savior. I've got to come to Christ. I've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Forgive me. We mess up. We're unkind. We don't believe God. We're unconcerned about things. We get apathetic, all right? We don't care. So we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for that attitude. Why? Because we've hurt our relationship with him. I don't know about you, but there's one relationship I want to be sure is right in this whole world. I want my relationship with my God to be good. Now, I want my relationship with my spouse to be good. But I tell you what, I want my relationship with my God to be gooder than that, all right? If I can keep my relationship with Him right, I can keep my relationship with my spouse. I can keep my relationship with my friends. I can keep my relationship right with my enemies. If I keep my relationship right with God. But the only way we do it is deal with our sin, all right? Deal with our sin. You say, preacher, what do you think my sin is? I don't think. That's your problem. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. You know what it is. You know what that besetting sin is. I don't have to come and confess your sin. I've got enough to keep me busy myself. If I don't come looking for yours, and I'm not up here saying, I'll confess yours for you, no. No, I've got to deal with mine. You've got to deal with yours. But are you dealing with it, all right? Do you get to that point where you say, okay, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. It's me. I'm the one that's messed up. I need your help. I need your help. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to help me. And then just, hey, confess it, forsake it. Forsake it. That's it. We've got a sin problem. We've got a sin. Hey, we've got problems in our land. There's some race problems in our land. I'm going to tell you this, okay? This may not be the most encouraging word you've ever heard. There will always be race problems. Because there will always be sin problems. There will always be a sin problem. They're not all going to be cured. You can't cure them. You can't cure them by passing laws. You can't cure it by, marching, protest. You can't. The only way to cure it is if that individual gets born again and gets right with God. That's a sin problem. Hey, we've got a lot of economic problems. I want to tell you the truth. There's a lot of economic problems because there's sin problems. Sin problem. We think the cure for financial ills in communities is to tax things like booze. And if we'll make it accessible, then we'll tax it and tax booze and cigarettes and everything. That's called a sin tax, and that's what it's referred to. I'll tell you what, you better not try to support your city based on those kind of things. You better not legalize them so you can tax them. You know, that's part of the situation with legalizing marijuana. Let's legalize it because it's being sold, then we'll tax it. Well, that'll really produce wonderful dividends for your community and your state. No, you just can't do it like that, all right? Hey, we're going to solve our problems. The problem starts with fixing the sin problem. Fix the sin problem. What's the problem in your life? What's the problem in your life? I'm not asking you to confess it to me, but you know what it is. Are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it? Do anything about it? Now, maybe there's somebody here, your problem is, grand theft. Maybe in the night you're sneaking out of the house, putting the mask on, and going out and robbing. I don't know. But I got a feeling that's not the problem. I got a feeling the problem is more of what the world would say, that's no big deal. But it is with God. What do you need to fix? Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. You'd help us to see ourselves guilty. Lord, see ourselves guilty where we are guilty. Admit it. Confess it. Lord, forsake it. Get help, Lord, tonight. Would you help us to see that need? Help us to act upon it, Lord. Help us to use invitation time. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight, please? We sing invitation. Maybe God's dealt with you. Hey, there's a sin problem. You need to take care of it. Well, I'm not walking that aisle. I don't want people to think I'm a sinner. They already know. Amen. They already know. Hey, we are. We're sinners. We're sinners. If you need to come, would you come tonight while we sing the invitation? Come on, while we sing.
Just as I am without.